It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Verdict reached in the Harvey Weinstein case. That is our top story at noon. The disgraced former movie mogul has been found guilty on 2 counts of sexual abuse, not guilty on 3 counts.
This is a case of enormous interest, not only in the entertainment community, but in the legal and judicial community.
Fox News legal analyst Andrew Napolitano says Harvey Weinstein may have dodged a bullet here.
Even though he's facing jail time, this is a significant victory for him and a monumental setback for the government.
Harvey Weinstein still faces up to 25 years in prison. He could have gotten life behind bars. The coronavirus takes aim at Wall Street. That is the other big story at news.
We opened down 991 points. That could be the largest opening down I've ever seen.
The virus on the move all throughout Western Europe, the Middle East, and deeper into parts of Asia. And for the very first time today, the U.S. military confirmed a family member of a soldier stationed in South Korea has now tested positive for coronavirus.
The coronavirus is really harsh on people who are vulnerable. Our population, relative to the regular population, is not vulnerable. Still, though, we're all nervous about it.
Edward Blanco, in charge of that military base in South Korea. Today, the World Health Organization described the coronavirus outbreak as an international emergency. Correspondent Vicky Barker is in London.
13 confirmed cases here in the UK. Now over 200 confirmed in Italy, with Milan Fashion Week disrupted, Venice's carnival canceled, and northern Italian towns at the epicenter in lockdown. Iran's official death toll is 12, but one Iranian lawmaker insists there have been 50 deaths in his city alone, and growing fears of a global pandemic are hammering European stocks today.
That's Vicky Barker reporting from London. The coronavirus sent U.S. stocks tumbling today, too. Here's business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The fear is pushing people away from markets. We also see the energy markets selling off, with some fears that the industrial nations like South Korea and maybe Germany could start to feel the impact. And of course, gold going up, that is as people are fleeing the stock market and some of the volatile assets and going to what they perceive as the safety of gold.
The virus, which first showed up in China in December, has now spread to over 35 countries and has killed over 2,600 people. Bernie Sanders on a roll,
which is another reason why we're going to win this election.
Fresh off his convincing win in Nevada this past weekend, the 78-year-old, now the clear Democratic frontrunner in the race for the White House.
No campaign has a grassroots movement like we do.
Following his big win in the Silver State, Bernie Sanders says his controversial platform starting to take hold.
And the ideas that seemed radical 4 years ago are now kind of mainstream.
All eyes now shift to South Carolina for Saturday's big primary. That's where former Vice President Joe Biden is hoping to make some noise.
The African American community in South Carolina can make a judgment about who the next president of the United States is going to be.
But most political pundits say moderate Democrats like Joe Biden and Amy Klobuchar may not have enough momentum to stop the Bernie Sanders express. South Carolina Democratic Congressman Jim Clyburn fears if Bernie Sanders wins the nomination, Donald Trump will win the White House.
This is South Carolina, and South Carolinians are pretty leery about that title, socialist.
Pollster Jennifer DePinto says even a lot of Democrats think President Trump cannot be stopped in November.
65% of registered voters nationwide think President Trump will definitely or probably be reelected in November. And this includes more than a third of Democrats. Republicans are especially optimistic about Trump's reelection prospects. More than 9 in 10 expect him to win reelection.
That's pollster Jennifer DePinto. Toronto, Bernie Sanders facing some heat for singing the praises of the late Fidel Castro and his socialist policies in communist Cuba.
We're very opposed to the authoritarian nature of Cuba. But, you know, it's unfair to simply say everything is bad. When Fidel Castro came into office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing?
Sanders interviewed last night on 60 Minutes Guy Benson, a political reporter with townhall.com.
This was Bernie Sanders on track to become the front runner, if not the nominee for the Democratic Party, making a decision to go to bat for Fidel Castro's regime.
Maria Comar with Vote Latino says Bernie Sanders' sympathetic comments about Fidel Castro will cost him the delegate-rich state of Florida.
You can kiss Florida goodbye. Latinos that have fled socialism, and they are in Florida, and they have these types of sensibilities that are very different from the rest of the Latino community, I don't see a pathway for him there.
Sanders says his Castro comments are no worse than Donald Trump's glowing praise for North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. The president is in India. The red carpet rolled out halfway around the world today as the first family visits the world's largest democracy. The president visiting the Taj Mahal earlier today, where the tombs there were cleaned for the first time in 300 years. Mr. Trump now in New Delhi on his two-day tour of India. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear a religious freedom case out of Philadelphia. At issue, whether a Catholic foster care agency in that city has the right to deny child placement in same-sex households. Legal analyst Pete Williams.
The city discovered that the charity would not allow gay parents to enroll in the foster care program.
Philadelphia suspended the foster care program over that policy. The charity now suing the city on religious freedom grounds. They claim there is precedent for their stance on this issue.
People who claim a religious exemption or religious objection to serving same-sex couples in marriages, weddings, cakes, flowers, wedding invitations, videos, and so on.
The foster care case out of Philly will not be heard until the high court's next term. That'll start in October. Public memorial service set for today at the Staples Center for fans to say a final farewell to L.A. Lakers legend Kobe Bryant. He, along with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, among nine people killed in a helicopter crash last month. Current Lakers star LeBron James.
We're all trying to move on, but also know that, you know, he's with us. His jersey's sitting in my locker right now.
I'm hoping that it kind of gives us not some closure, but to just kind of live on Kobe's dream and his mantra of just, you know, working hard.
That woman traveling from San Diego to be at today's public memorial in Los Angeles. A 42-year-old former Zamboni driver got to pinch hit in goal at an NHL hockey game this weekend in Toronto.
You can only imagine what his nerves are like right now, what his heart rate is like right now.
David Ayers forced into action as an emergency goaltender for the Carolina Hurricanes after two goalies were injured in a game against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
This is practically impossible that you're now asking him to do this.
The father of three didn't just play, he excelled, stopping 8 of 10 shots he faced in a Canes 6-3 victory.
David Ayers, the Carolina Hurricanes surround him.
When he's not playing goalie in the NHL, David Ayers is a building operations manager in Toronto. He was paid $500 for his efforts, plus he got to keep his game jersey. Still to come this Monday, human remains in Geneseo, New York, suicide rates on the rise, and the 46-hour dance marathon at Penn State.
Well, good afternoon to all enjoying spring across our region today, at least spring-like weather, but winter, it does lurk for later in the week. Forecast details are yours in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams, checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Monday, February 24th, a new Siena College poll shows Bernie Sanders the top pick of Democrats in New York. That survey also shows 62% of state residents think President Trump will be reelected.
Now, we should point out, this is February. Events come fast and furious in the modern political world, so we don't know where we will be in November. But here in late February, there's no question that Democrats in New York are nervous and anxious.
Pollster Steve Greenberg says Bernie Sanders, Michael Bloomberg, and Joe Biden, the top picks for Democrats in New York. Police say human remains found in the woods in Geneseo, New York, could be that of the missing fugitive David Clyde Morgan. Those remains found less than a mile from where Morgan was last seen when he ran from a Geneseo police officer during a traffic stop 2 years ago.
If this is David Clyde Morgan, there's one of two things that happened. He either got through our perimeter prior to it being set up, which there is a possibility, or he got through our perimeter post that.
Livingston County Sheriff Tom Doherty says it could take weeks before they know for sure the identity of the remains, which were found by some hunters yesterday afternoon. Charles Salina, the U.S. Marshal for Western New York.
If it does turn out to be him, it's going to be, you know, just great news for the investigators. They can close the case out.
A dash cam video from July of 2018 shows David Clyde Morgan pointing a gun at a Geneseo police officer after a traffic stop. Police say Morgan may have been on the run after a drug raid in North Carolina. New York's plastic bag ban takes effect in just 6 days. Starting Sunday, residents will no longer be able to get them at grocery or convenience stores.
I think we're pretty ready. Local governments have been talking about it. Retailers have been warning their customers that this is coming.
Mildred Warner at Cornell University says anyone who doesn't carry reusable bags will be charged 5 cents for a paper one.
Research shows that if you actually want to reduce the use of plastic bags, you actually need to have a fee.
Critics contend the fee, nothing more than a tax, and they fear the plastic bag ban will ultimately lead to higher costs for groceries in New York. The world's largest student-run philanthropic event wrapped up this weekend at Penn State. The annual 46-hour dance marathon, known as Thon, raised nearly $12 million to help kids battling cancer.
Thank you very much for everything you do and for the things that you do for these families. They are so precious to us.
Charles Millard, the founder of Four Diamonds, his group helps pediatric cancer patients and their families at Penn State's Milton Hershey Medical Center. Throughout the weekend, while students were dancing, those affected by cancer took the stage to share their stories of triumph and tragedy.
There are a lot of you, and to be perfectly honest, I don't think I can come up with the words to describe how much I lost.
You make them forget, and you let them be little. Thank you for that.
Since 1977, Thon has raised more than $168 million to help fight pediatric cancer. Suicide, the second leading cause of death among teens today, and the suicide rate actually spikes in the spring.
As the weather gets better, people start getting together more, and for people who are already isolated, they start recognizing that they're even more alone than they thought they were, and then often they're spending time on social media looking at other people and seeing other people connecting and doing fun things outside while they're isolating away from people.
Joni DeBrito with Focus on the Family says for depressed people, the change in seasons can increase loneliness.
It can make them feel worse and kind of drive them a little bit deeper in depression. Also, unfortunately, if they've been planning something, a way to die, it may be something that's not as easy to do in the cold winter months, and so the warmer weather and the longer days of light may make those things a little bit more likely to happen.
And DeBrito says relationship building the key to driving down the suicide rate.
And that relationship is so powerful, whether it's parents or friends or teachers or neighbors or whomever, just talking with someone and letting them know that you're there, you care, you're there to listen and so forth is probably the most powerful thing that you can do.
Focus on the Family has developed a new program called Alive to Thrive. It offers a biblically based response to suicide prevention. Call it a sign of the times. A bookstore in Brockport that's struggling to stay open sent out flyers this past weekend asking folks to shop there.
It's a delicate balance of saying, hey, we want to be here. How do we stay open without sounding like I want a handout? Because I don't want a handout. I want you to come in and get something you want. And we want to be here. We don't want to do anything else. You know, we love being here.
John Bonzik, co-owner of the Life Bridge Book Shop in Brockport, New York, he says business on Sunday was busier than usual, and he credits that with those flyers he distributed to the community. Let's pause for sports. It is your 2-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start on the ice. The NHL trade deadline today at 3 o'clock, but the Sabres may want to stay as they are. Alec Posa with that game winner as the Sabres knock off the Jets 2-1. Buffalo, 7-3-1 in their last 11 games, moved into a tie for fifth with Montreal in the Atlantic Division. By the way, rookie Jonas Johansson stopped 25 shots during his first victory in three NHL starts. On Long Island, Anders Lee with two goals and an assist. The Isles beat the Sharks 4-1. The Islanders with the top wildcard spot. In D.C., the Capitals beat the Penguins 5-3. Ovechkin and the Caps now have the lead in the Metro after Pittsburgh dropped their third straight game. Gotta love the story, though, from Saturday. Dave Ayers, a 42-year-old Zamboni driver and a maintenance worker for the Maple Leafs AHL affiliate, the Toronto Marlies, was called in to play the game as an emergency goalie for the opposing team, the Carolina Hurricanes. He allowed the first two shots to score, then he stopped the next eight to get credit for a 6-3 win.
I went through a kidney transplant 15 years ago. Never thought I was going to play hockey again at that moment. And started with the Marlies, and it's been 8 years with the Marlies, and I guess three with the Leafs now. And the whole Leafs organization from top to bottom have been amazing to me since day one.
Don't be surprised for a Disney movie coming soon. Joey Logano punching his ticket to the NASCAR postseason. He led 54 laps en route to victory to the Pennzoil 400 in Las Vegas.
You know, obviously as a race car driver and you're in a lead, you're in the mirror more and you're looking forward.
XFL action this weekend. Phillip Walker with three touchdown passes, leading the Houston Roughnecks by the Tampa Bay Vipers 34-17. Landry Jones with three touchdowns in the Dallas Renegades 24-12 win against the Seattle Dragons. The St. Louis Battlehawks crushed the New York Guardians 29-9, and quarterback Josh Johnson with five touchdowns, leading the Los Angeles Wildcats by the D.C. Defenders 39-9. Quarterback Cardale Jones with a rough day for D.C. with four interceptions. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, verdict reached in the Harvey Weinstein case, coronavirus cripples Wall Street, and napping on the job actually good for you.
Nothing has been more devastating for our culture than the breakdown of the family. But what do we mean by family? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. New York Times columnist David Brooks made waves last week with an essay published in The Atlantic. Brooks's point is simple. What we call the nuclear family, mother, father, and their 2.5 children, often in a suburban home with a single income, is an invention of the 20th century. Instead, writes Brooks, humans have typically existed in multi-generational networks of grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, supporting one another. It's the extended family, he argues, that is the natural family. Now, the key here is context. Brooks admits that the nuclear family has always existed, but without an extended circle of relatives, he thinks it's unstable, and history seems to back him up. The 1950s, he writes, were the high water mark of the nuclear family, but as the 50s economy and mass unionization became things of the past, nuclear families fragmented into ever smaller forms, with single-parent homes now being the most common. Among the important points made by Brooks is that certainly by the time American culture had absorbed the full impact of the sexual revolution, the American family had already been substantially transformed by industrialization and other forces of modernity, not least of which the widespread separation of work from home. Unfortunately, the title of Brooks's essay in The Atlantic is, well, terrible. To lead with "the nuclear family was a mistake" muddies the waters. Even muddier is Brooks' suggestion that alternative forms of kinship, which he calls chosen families, can be legitimate replacements for the nuclear family, with the only criteria for their success being that they're chosen. And so he praises networks of shared parenting in such places like African-American neighborhoods with low rates of fatherhood, also same-sex and polyamorous arrangements in LGBTQ communities, and even groups of friends living together to support one another. And what Brooks misses is that all of these things are attempts to mitigate situations caused when families break, but they're not replacements. As noble as some of these attempts are, the outcomes for those involved in chosen families, especially outcomes related to the long-term health and well-being of children, are consistently worse than they are for those in nuclear families. Critiquing Brooks' essay at The Bulwark, Mona Sharon reminds us that family, including external families, are still built on marriages. A family is more than a mere social construct. It cannot be whatever we make it or want it to be. It's founded, she writes, on human nature and biology, including the unique bond that ties parents and children. Andrew Walker's response to Brooks' essay makes the very important point that what Brooks is looking for in so-called chosen families already exists in another institution, one that's been around for a couple thousand years, the church. Jesus didn't start the church to replace biological families. And what other social institution can offer the love, support, and community that can help hold a household together? So the reality to which Brooks points is a marvelous opportunity for the church to be the agent of restoration that Christ has saved it to be. Still, Brooks is wrong to suggest that love can dispense with biology. The natural family is built around biological realities like male and female and procreation, and it's therefore as irreplaceable as gravity. As books like Mary Eberstadt's recent Primal Screams clearly document, the last several decades of ignoring this design has brought devastating consequences. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
21 minutes past the hour, Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Friendly high pressure producing our spring-like weather today will forsake us soon. And an area of low pressure will deliver some rain and snow later tonight and tomorrow. And a strong front will deliver much colder air later in the week. So enjoy the relative serenity and beauty of the day today. For even as clouds increase this afternoon, it stays mild. High temperatures, mid-40s to the mid-50s. Cloudy tonight and tomorrow with some rain and snow. And so could even leave some slushy accumulations over the higher ground of western New York. Temperatures tonight dip into the 30s. Tomorrow we're in the mid-30s to the mid-40s. On Wednesday, cloudy, breezy, showers in the 40s, then abruptly colder with rain followed by snow Wednesday night. Blustery with flurries and local lake effect Thursday and Friday.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Monday, February 24th, verdict reached in the Harvey Weinstein case. The disgraced former movie mogul found guilty on 2 counts, not guilty on 3 counts in his sexual assault trial. Harvey Weinstein faces up to 25 years in prison. Fears over the coronavirus have sent stocks tumbling on Wall Street today.
It just looks like it's going to be an ugly day.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
We've got 10 towns in Italy that are under quarantine, clustered nearby Milan. We had the Venice Carnival canceled. And I think that when you consider global travel, it's a $9 trillion industry. So obviously, there are going to be spillover effects from that.
The virus, which first showed up in China in December, has now spread to over 35 countries. It's killed over 2,600 people. President Trump making a splash on his first official visit to India.
President Trump addressed a crowd of more than 100,000 at the world's largest cricket stadium.
Take pride in the glories of your past. Unite for an even brighter future, and let our two nations always stand together.
He's hoping to restart trade talks that broke off after the administration imposed tariffs on Indian steel and aluminum.
As Deborah Rodriguez reporting, Cuban Americans are digging in after a comment from Bernie Sanders on 60 Minutes last night. The Democratic frontrunner says 1959's Cuban Revolution wasn't that bad.
When Fidel Castro came into office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing? Even though Fidel Castro did it?
There's a lot of dissidents imprisoned in
Cuba. That's right, and we condemn that.
A lot of Democrats in Miami say that comment from Bernie Sanders could hurt him in Florida. The second person in less than a week has been hit and killed by a tandem float at Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
We just had this to happen a few nights ago, and it didn't happen again.
The accident has prompted officials to ban tandem floats for the rest of the carnival season in New Orleans. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, Monday afternoon, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome to Missions in Action, a feature that focuses on the work of missionaries who are delivering the good news of Jesus around the region and around the world. Today, we're visiting with Lauren, a dancer and choreographer from the U.S. Lauren, you recently went on a missions trip. Would you tell us a little bit about why you went and what you did while you were there?
Yeah, so I just went to China and it was incredible. Right now at home, I do a lot of dance things and I wanted to be able to use that gift in China. So I was able to go and do that, but also I was able to help in small ways, just like making dinner and cleaning and all those things that were a huge help to them.
So you were there for a few days?
I was there for 2.5 weeks. We were visiting friends at their facility to help them clean and
cook. Excellent. So did you make some good Chinese food?
Just really basic things. I tried to make some soup and we went to the grocery store.
I'm sure it was culture shock for you. What were some of the things you noticed about life in China that maybe are different from here in America?
So China moves very, very quickly. They had buses there and these little e-bikes that move really fast, and they had tons of roads. People are very focused on their phones, which, I mean, in the U.S. we are, but it just moved extremely quickly compared to anywhere here at home.
So they're on their phones even more than we are?
Yeah, they definitely were focused on their phones a lot. I think the government is definitely feeding them a lot of propaganda through their phones.
Wow.
In the media there.
So what else did you get to do while you were there?
So we also got to go to an orphanage and we got to visit some kids. And it was really amazing because a lot of these kids had disabilities and we were able to really love on them. And it was kind of cool because here at home, I've been able to visit a lot of nursing homes. And it was almost like a kid nursing home. And these kids don't get touched at all. The facility moves the children around, but it was really cool to be able to pick up these kids and just hold them and then be able to play with them.
What was the most daring thing that you did on this trip?
One of the things that really pushed me out of my comfort zone was we were able to hand out books of Luke in China. Foreigners are not allowed to indoctrinate the Chinese people, is a rule in China. So when you're going in with the gospel, we're sharing the good news, and the government doesn't want that. First, it was really scary to do something illegal, but it wasn't because it was the right thing to do. And there was an incredible amount of peace and protection that was there. And even just doing that, it helped me realize even that we should be giving out Bibles here in our own culture, that we really need to be reaching our people, not just the Chinese people. It was scary. I mean, we put them in our backpacks, and so we had to go through the subway, and there was like a lot of policemen there. And then even going to the small village to hand them out, and there was cameras everywhere. The person we were with was like, okay, you need to make sure that there wasn't any cameras as you're handing these out. And so I give my first one, and the person said no. But then as I started giving them out, it was just this incredible amount of peace in that I just was saying, hey, this is a free gift, and people took it. They accept gifts a lot. That's different than America, but we definitely, as Americans, need to be getting out there with the gospel and with the Bible.
I have goosebumps. Lauren, what could have happened to you if you had been caught? Any idea?
I have no idea. Because we were visiting, I'm pretty sure that they just would have taken them. But there was fear there in that, wow, like I have this freedom in America to be just carrying Bibles and giving out Bibles to people. Why am I not doing that at home when there's a need here in the U.S. that we need to be giving out Bibles?
So it makes you more grateful for the privileges that we have?
It makes me more grateful, definitely, for the freedom that we have and that we aren't using.
Yeah, and challenging us to do what we can with the time we have.
Yeah, and I love that here at Family Life that you guys have been able to equip even people with Bibles, that we had the Bible sharing. I love that, and we need to be doing that more because Jesus changes people.
And most American households have multiple Bibles. The key is if we would actually open it up and read it and then ask the Lord to help us apply that knowledge to our lives so that we would grow wise and be more like Jesus. Lauren, this was an amazing experience for you. So what would your advice be to others that are maybe thinking, well, I can't dance, but I want others to know about Jesus and the hope that they have?
Yeah, and I took away from the whole experience, maybe this is crazy to say, I don't need to dance. I have Jesus. I have everything that I need. And I need to be giving that to everyone. I need to be going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And I think that maybe you feel like, I'm a small town kid. I can't do anything. I don't have any gifts, but you do. You have Jesus and his word. And I would say, get out there and start telling the people just around you, tell your neighbors, and then go into the world because people need Jesus.
That's U.S. dancer and choreographer Lauren. I'm Tracy Lynn with Family Life News. How's the Lord guiding you to reach out to others?
Thank you, Tracy. Missions in Action comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Friendly high pressure producing our spring-like weather today will forsake us soon. And an area of low pressure will deliver some rain and snow later tonight and tomorrow. And a strong front will deliver much colder air later in the week. So enjoy the relative serenity and beauty of the day today. For even as clouds increase this afternoon, it stays mild. High temperatures mid-40s to the mid-50s. Cloudy tonight and tomorrow with some rain and snow. And so could even leave some slushy accumulations over the higher ground of western New York. Temperatures tonight dip into the 30s. Tomorrow we're in the mid-30s to the mid-40s. On Wednesday, cloudy, breezy, showers in the 40s, then abruptly colder with rain followed by snow Wednesday night. Blustery with flurries and local lake effect Thursday and Friday.
Okay, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, if you're looking for a way to improve your day-to-day productivity, finding some time to take a nap could be the answer. Researchers examined the napping habits of 2,000 volunteers and found those who are able to get some shut-eye in their workday were overall more productive than those who did not. Nappers also tended to be happier than non-nappers. The survey was paid for by the mattress company Mattress Nerd. 3 out of 4 nappers consider themselves career-driven compared to just 55% of non-nappers. Naps do come with a downside, however. 1/4 of nappers surveyed said they often wake up confused and sometimes don't know where they are. That happens to me every day. That is the world we live in this Monday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.